Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There are many reasons, aren't there, to love Italy. The Italians, for one. The Italian countryside, for another. Italian cuisine, self-evidently. The Giro d'Italia, the list is almost endless. The weather, it's another lovely, mild, early summer day. I find myself in Biella, standing outside the hotel I stayed in last night, the Hotel Astoria. Notable for two things, really, to my mind. One was an excellent fruit salad that I had for breakfast. And the second thing is outside the Hotel Astoria that Matt and I noted last night when we were wheeling our suitcases towards reception. There is a section of pavement that has been specifically designed and sponsored. It's called the Pavimento Pirelli, as in the tyre manufacturer Pirelli. And we couldn't quite figure it out until we started wheeling our suitcases across it. Now, it's a section of pavement which is laid out with squares of specially designed pavement, which is ridged. And the net effect is that when you wheel your suitcase along the Pavimento Pirelli, it sounds like the revving of a Formula One car. Listen. Welcome to Never Strays Far. Never Strays Far is proud to be supported by BICMO Cycle Insurance, protecting the world's riders and the places we ride. Head to BICMO.com and use the code NSF24 on their quote page to get 12 months of award-winning BICMO insurance for the price of 11. Terms apply. Well, it's the morning of stage two. Remarkably, it's a summit finish. 12 kilometre climb all the way up to the famous sanctuary of Europa, which I've never visited, but which in just about an hour or so I'm going to go and see for the first time. So no doubt I'll be able to, or try to paint a picture of what that famous climb is all about. And we stayed last night, as I said, in Biella, down in the newer town. But I've just taken the opportunity to go up to the old town, and I'm really glad I have, because it's just Renaissance Palace after Renaissance Palace after Renaissance Palace clustered onto this hilltop. The Ferrera family, Biella's aristocracy, who are part of the wider House of Savoy, were in charge of this little town for many centuries, and building themselves these beautiful little cloistered palaces, very ornate, colonnaded main piazza with these villas on either side, absolutely stunning. The place I really wanted to visit, I couldn't get into. I rang the bell, but there was nobody answering, and I'm not sure whether it's how often or if indeed at all it's open to the public. But it's a tiny, tiny, very ancient synagogue, one of the oldest in Italy, which is behind the walls of a quite an ordinary looking villa. I say villa, townhouse here. You wouldn't know that the synagogue was there, save for a little bell, a brass bell that says Synagoga, which I rang to no avail. It's a shame I couldn't get in, because I've seen pictures of the inside and it's tiny and has one of the oldest Talmuds in all of Italy. Anyway, I failed to do that. Just before we kind of proceed with the rest of the pod, and I go and pick up Matt, who is waiting for me down at the bottom, to go up to the finish line today together. I just wanted to thank you all for the feedback that you have given us, me online, and Matt, and the podcast at Never Strays Far, which I do recommend that you follow through the, well, just forever, really, for the rest of your lives. Particularly after Bill's interview yesterday, on that really emotional day, and it was a real honour to meet Bill. Lovely, very funny man. Had me in stitches, really, with that lovely story that he told about meeting Tom Simpson and buying his kit. I hope you had a great day, Bill, and it was lovely to be introduced. And thanks once again to Ed Parsons and his mum Wendy, who kind of facilitated that encounter. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. It was brilliant. Great day's racing yesterday. I'm hoping for a great day's racing today. I better go and pick up Matt.
Out of the way, but you know.
This is properly amazing. We were just told by an Italian. So we've made our way up to the sanctuary of Europa. Already visited the huge basilica.
Impressive, isn't it?
It is enormous.
Yeah. And really kind of like hefty in the sense of its architecture. Huge solid dome that's very high with a little window right at the top. Frescoes all the way. Very circular inside, isn't it?
Quite just simple.
A lot of marble.
Yeah, it's quite enormously imposing. You literally feel the weight of it almost. But it's just vast, isn't it? It's the vastness of this place.
Yeah.
I've been here a few times before, but I don't remember it being this big. But it's amazing. Yeah, very impressive.
And then there's like, you know, when you step away from the actual sanctuary, the church at the top, there's two kind of successive huge courtyards. I guess it's a monastery. I'm going to have to look it up, you know. But obviously, a place of huge importance. I didn't really quite realise the scale or the significance of it. And then an Italian who didn't actually know who he was.
Italian Eurosport chap, I think he was, wasn't he?
Well, I assumed you knew because he's very friendly, but excellent English. We just met him on the steps, just over, you know, having a look at the view. Because the view, even on a slightly cloudy day like today, apparently you can see, and I kind of believe it, see the entire width of the Po River Valley here from here. In other words, if you look south, you can see the Apennines across the Po Valley. I mean, that's just bonkers.
That is incredible. And you can see the way the clouds are over the mountains. How many k's away is that?
It's a lot.
But I can just see where the clouds begin, like a couple of hundred k's, 150 k's.
I don't know, Matt.
Nor do I. We're just making things up now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, what we're not making up is this is just, I'm like, it's quite fresh up here. One of the most important things of the day so far is that Ned, I've got to describe what Ned's wearing, as well as his hat, his cap, he's wearing a puffer.
Yeah.
And he's sporting it really well, sir.
Thanks.
We're puffer twins.
So we are, you know, we do work for RCS. We work for the Giro d'Italia. They're effectively our employers, and they do.
Before that, you wouldn't know who you work for. You just look like, you know, just like our itinerant
civilians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the yeah, exactly. Yeah. The poet from Torino. But yeah, I've succumbed perhaps to a very. I'm not because. Un cappuccino per favore.
Per me.
Due cappuccino.
Grazie mille. Hey, scusa, un brioche anche. Due.
Grazie mille.
I've succumbed to the.
Yeah. I don't think you even succumbed. I think you've embraced it.
I've embraced it. So yeah, I'm wearing a very branded Giro d'Italia puffer jacket.
We both
got them delivered overnight. They're brand new.
Yeah.
We've taken the labels off.
Yep.
We're sporting them for the first time, and we're just
quite warm. I'm overly warm.
Yeah. And they've got that's it. Now listen. That's the sound of the zip, and I was playing around with it like this, and. And this is the sound of yours.
It's quite Latin.
So we thought that we could have a conversation between our two zips, and they sound a little bit like kind of clangers, in a way.
The clangers. The clangieri.
Yeah, the zip clangers of Italy.
The zip clangers of Italy.
So this is what it sounds like again. This is your chap. So. And my chap goes.
It's more
just
animated,
more excitable, Mike. Yeah. That's turning into an argument, isn't it?
It's basically kicking off. We just had to separate them, to be honest with you.
And then we worked out that you can actually have
Zip's got quite hot, Ned.
You can actually have the soup dragon. Remember him?
Quite wise.
Much lower register sort of thing. So he's getting the soup ready. The little fellas are right, because they're getting excited.
They're scuttling around, aren't they?
Come prima, più di prima, t'amerò.
The Giro d'Italia never does things by half measures. Today is only the second of 21 stages on the long and winding road to Rome, but already we have a summit finish, and not just any old mountaintop either. It's the iconic climb to the Santuario di Europa, where a new rider will write another famous chapter in Giro history. And all that coming after a sensational opening stage in Turin. Tutto il mondo sei per me. A nessuno voglio bene come a te.
Sorry, we're just talking about the presence on the Giro d'Italia of what would mean they're called the receipt police. It's basically the financial police of Italy. The fiscal police are here on the race. They had a massive stand in Turin where, believe it or not, they actually had a financial police triathlon skin suit for sale. So, and I'm not even making this. I know sometimes we go tangential on this pod, but that is the truth. And a big stand. And they appear to use the Giro d'Italia as a recruitment device to join the receipt police. And we live in respect. We respect them and we fear them. And I think we need to get them on the pod.
Is that the Superga over there?
I think it is
on the horizon. We keep circling. Sorry, I was just ignoring what you're saying.
No, you did. Totally.
We're circling around Turin. We haven't got away. So we've left the Europa mountain. Took us ages to get off the climb. We should probably reflect a little bit on the race. But before we come to that, Matt, I'm just wondering out loud whether
you could just leave the receipt, please, a bit behind then.
No, I might come back to it. I'm just wondering out loud a little bit to myself whether or not we jumped the shark slightly with I Clanieri di Zip.
Oh yeah,
it was a bit odd, wasn't it?
It was odd. I think we just need to reference it, because if we didn't
back reference,
but people listen to this pod knowing that sometimes it might go a little bit off piste. Yeah, I think they get that. There's a little bit of cycling in there. There's a lot of like other stuff in there as well, which is the reason I like doing this, because I love talking about cycling, but I do it a lot all the time.
Yeah.
So when I come on this pod, we dip into that,
yeah,
but we go elsewhere quite often. But that was particularly elsewhere on this particular occasion.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I mean, we're both not religious folks, but do you think we were somehow, there was something, some religious, spiritual, some sort of strength or some sort of power from elsewhere that drew it out of us? Because it came from nowhere.
Well, it was voices from afar, wasn't it? We were channeling the voices of these mysterious moon-dwelling, in this case, Italian 1970s cartoon characters who were speaking to us through time and space.
Yeah.
But extraordinarily via the medium of our new puffer jacket Zips.
I think that's what inspired it, because you pulled it on and the look on your face, it was like you're a 9-year-old on Christmas Day, mate. But initially you refused to take the labels off because you're thinking about potential resale when you get back to Lewisham. But I soon popped those off. But they're nice jackets, aren't they? Nice little puffer jackets.
Yeah.
You had a go of the Zip, and then once you'd done that a few times,
it spoke to me.
Your face changed, and you'd come up with an idea.
And interestingly, after we'd recorded that little section with the Zips, on my way to commentate on the race, I stopped off at the little souvenir here. There's the ticket, because we're coming up to a pay station, aren't we? Otherwise the Guardia di Finanza will be on.
Yeah, I mean, not just Basso, but the cops.
I popped into the little, for want of a better word,
Andrea Basso, not Basso.
Not Ivan Basso, no. Andrea Basso, who's, I don't think, does he listen to the podcast? Doubt it. He's our boss, basically.
I think there's only a slim chance he listens to this. Yeah.
I popped into the God souvenir shop.
God, did you just say God souvenir shop?
Well, I couldn't think about it. Catholic artifacts, all of a sudden. And I bought a little Jesus, didn't I?
Little tiny one.
Didn't want to spend too much money, but €3.50.
It was €3.50 for a little, quite a classic looking Jesus.
Yeah, he's got the Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart. It's the same version, but slightly bigger than the one that we had that sadly we broke last year.
Yeah, but I've still got him at home.
Have you?
I have got him at home. I just forgot to. I forgot to bring him with me. I'm
where
quite annoyed about that.
Where have you, on top of your computer?
I've got a little shelf at home, just above my desk, where I keep little souvenir-y bits and bobs from our various different. Yeah.
That's nice.
You know, cycling related.
Maybe we should do a little feature on that when you get back. Just going back through the years, looking at all your knickknacks.
Yeah.
Are they all primarily religious or not only religious?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I've got a tin from when the Tour de France started in the Vendée, I think, in 2018. I've got a tin of sardines.
Unopened?
Yeah. I've got a bouncy ball from the Guggenheim in Bilbao last year. I've got a model of the Atomium in Brussels.
Oh, yes. The big thing. Yeah, yeah.
What did I get from Copenhagen? Oh, Hans Christian Andersen.
Not the fella, he's
dead.
A tiny little
Hans Christian Andersen statue.
Bigger than the Pantani sat on that giant bike today.
Oh, that was funny, wasn't it?
It's weird, wasn't it?
The finish line was the biggest bicycle
I've ever seen
in the world.
Yeah,
I think we can say that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was huge, and I didn't notice at first, but on the saddle, which must have been as big as this car, which is quite a long estate car, Fiat car, was sat a maybe life-size Pantani, actually. Probably about life-size, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because Mark himself wasn't the tallest of chaps. So he was quite a light figure. Maybe it was accurate, or at least to scale.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah,
we're in a payage, aren't we?
We're in a payage.
Oh, lots of shouting and calling, hollering.
Did you hear that distant scream across the... Yeah, it's quite eerie, actually.
It's
a little bit kind of like post-apocalyptic, actually. Right there.
I'm just going to get serious for a sec, because I don't want to...
Yeah, so in the bike race, just so you know, because I don't think you recorded any finishing line commentary today, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, okay.
Sorry.
Explicit warning. Tadej Pogacar won the bike race comfortably. He attacked 4.5 kilometres from the finish line, having been set up brilliantly by Rafa Majka at a very steep part of this quite extraordinary climb, actually, that is very steep in parts and then flattens out and there's a little bit of a descent. Very uneven climb.
I'll need a fucking ticket.
And there's another swear there that he's done. Sorry. There was a 5-rider, all Italian.
Sorry,
and another swear.
No. It's a bit annoying, this is.
Yeah.
A bit annoying. Awesome. Sorry.
How much was it?
760.
I'll go halves with you on that.
760.
Yeah.
I got that in real life then.
Yeah. Quite a lot of swearing, actually, there.
Sorry.
And five rider break, including Filippo Fiorelli, who did a really good ride, actually. And so too did Andrea Piccolo, but in the end they were all swept up. But Fiorelli picked... Oh, I don't know, I'm going into too much detail here. He took the lead in the Maglia Ciclamino competition, which is impressive. Probably just for one day, because someone else will sweep him asunder tomorrow by winning the first of the bona fide sprinter stage. But going back to Tadej Pogacar, he made everybody else look absolutely second rate compared to him. Of course, they're not second rate, they're all brilliant. But he's just in an absolute league of his own. And he won easing up in the final kilometre. He just coasted in, took 27 seconds over the line and leads the race by 45 seconds.
Yeah, and no point did he look under pressure. And I think we did remark, because we're kind of duty bound to, really. We have to, you know, we need to be honest about what we see as well. And he is on another level. He really is. And I think was backed up a little bit. Took the time bonus. He's now got like a 40-second lead. But I really do think he's thinking ahead now on how to win the Giro as efficiently as he can.
Yeah, but we've started talking, I think quite rightly, Matt, beyond that, haven't we? We're talking about a 6-week stage race for Tadej Pogacar, with a bit of a break in the middle, because I think he's thinking about Nice and the finish line of the Tour de France as much as he's thinking about Rome. So he is being as economical as he can be in winning the Giro d'Italia on the evidence of what we've seen so far, I think, although yesterday contradicted that slightly. But he's achieved what he's now won a stage. He's taken the pink jersey. That was a big milestone for him, and I think he'll just maybe go into his shell a little bit now for quite a while, actually, before we see him rampaging into the third week.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Storato stage offers up. It's quite hilly at the end. We've got 11 kilometres in total of white roads, and you know, he's got history at Strada Bianca, we know.
He's rather good at them.
And you kind of wonder whether he'll be able to hold back.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've got three sprint stages where he will be quiet, keeping that pink jersey. And it's up to the sprinters teams to control, but I think you're quite right, Ned. I think he's now thinking into the summer as well. Giro first, but with, I mean, the team are going to look at it, I think, as a longer term plan, really. So I really do think it's a distinct possibility that he might be able to do both, and they're already planning for that.
Yeah.
Big train just went past very fast.
Very fast, wasn't it? So we're on a motorway, and the train tracks alongside it absolutely shot past us, and I rather wish I was on it, frankly. Although you're doing a very good job of driving and podcasting. And talking of which, Matt, I think it's only right and proper that we flag up the fact that you have your own podcast that many of our listeners will listen to as well. But for those of you who are still as yet unfamiliar with it, what's it called and how often does it go out?
Yeah, it's Sigma Sports Matt Stevens Unplugged. It's only a bi-weekly podcast, but for the Grand Tours, we put out an episode a week. So the first episode won't actually be going out until the rest day. But please do tune in and have a listen. Ned will be in it as well, quite a lot, to be honest with you.
It's the way it works, isn't it?
It's the way it works. It's quite good fun. But yeah, just my experience behind the scenes via a series of little vignettes, about over a week. So yeah, listen in.
That's kind of the story of the day, to be honest. It's a little bit of a content-free podcast, this, I'm going to confess with.
What about the sport that we did at the back end? What about Europa is a series of, I've not sported today. You sported in the morning.
I went for a run.
I had a bit of a heavy night last night, so I had a lie-in.
Well, you ended up in a karaoke bar at midnight.
Yeah, singing Bowie. Which
that was quite funny, actually, because our colleagues came down to breakfast. I turned them quite a lot earlier, but I kind of knew I left you at the dinner table, and there was some discussion already about going out to find a bar. And I came down at breakfast, and I went, "Did you go out?" And Jess and Massey said, "Yep, there, yeah." I said, "Was Matt with you?" And then there's I think one of them mentioned a karaoke bar. I said, "Did Matt sing?" And they went, "Yep." And I said, "Did he sing Bowie?" And they went, "Yep." And I said, "Did he sing Life on Mars?" And he went, "Yep." So I kind of made that.
It was good fun, actually. It was a tiny little bar.
Can you give us a little rendition of how it sounded?
It's a god-awful small affair.
Carry on, this is great.
To the girl with the... No, I can't. Oh, no. The hardest bit was...
The big transition.
Sailors. Oh, see, it broke. Sailors.
Ooh.
Fighting on the dance floor.
Oh,
man! See, it's hard.
You've got to decide which way to go, haven't you? You've got to go Bee Gees and then Bowie.
Yeah, back it's really hard.
It's a bit like changing between the big ring and the little ring on a climb, isn't it?
You've got to
make it smooth.
It's hard. And I mean, that was... It's unprompted. I wasn't warmed up, and I wasn't warmed up then. Somebody wasn't being throttled in the back of the car. That was me trying to sing Bowie on a motorway in Italy. But no, it was good. It was good fun. It was the last song of the night. But I did get. I can give you some audio if you want, because it was recorded by Jess.
Oh, was it?
I can have some audio.
No,
if you
I think
want.
We're fine.
No, just let me know.
Yeah.
But the other thing we did.
I mean, it's interesting that, Matt, because we're talking about this. This is the first time that a summit finish has featured in a Grand Tour. I think I'm right in saying since 1989.
That's right.
Since 1989, Giro d'Italia. That's the last time we've had a summit finish on stage two of a Grand Tour. But in a similar fashion, I don't think you've visited a karaoke bar on the evening of stage one of a Grand Tour ever.
Again, I wasn't working on Grand Tours in 1989 either. So there, but I think it's definitely a first for me. I mean, I've been for a beverage or two. I've actually been in Hungary. Went to a discotheque.
That was stage two, wasn't it?
It was after stage two. Yeah. But after stage one karaoke, never been done before, and may not ever be repeated, Ned.
Yeah, well, you can't go any earlier than stage one. Well, you could the night before, I suppose, to a karaoke bar. But
it's bold, isn't it?
Was it last year where you ended up entertaining the birthday party of the 16-year-old and her family and her parents? Do you remember?
It was when I murdered Careless Whisper. But then I absolutely...
You stepped up. It was in the middle of nowhere. We were in Campania in this hotel in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you boldly steamed into this kind of private party, really, that we were eating our dinner. And you grabbed the microphone. And you did Careless Whisper, which was an interesting choice, first off.
Yeah.
And to be honest...
It was awful. It was awful.
How do you think it went down? How do you think it went down?
Like a lead balloon. It was bad. I could see you and Jess wincing. But the thing is, you know when it gone badly because people start talking loudly, and they stop paying attention to me. So I felt myself. I actually felt I blushed. I was embarrassed, but I got it over with.
Well, it's a tricky song, isn't it? Because it's not. It doesn't really get the pulse racing, does it? No. It's a quite a noodly, nerdly song, isn't it?
It was a mistake. And thing is, what I mean, I don't know whether we, and forgive us if we did pot about this.
We might have done,
but it doesn't really matter because I think it's quite relevant. Is that the U? And this is about our relationship, a little bit about our relationship. You took me to one side, sat me down, looked me in the eyes, a bit like in Rocky when his elderly coach slaps him around the face in the corner when he's wearing that weird little hat. It reminded me of a scene from Rocky,
yeah,
but with less at stake.
Yeah.
And he said, Matt,
yeah, less slapping as well. I didn't slap you.
I don't think you slapped me, but you know, you get your and you're not in your 80s either.
No.
And I'm not a boxer.
No.
But that's for the analogy. But you looked at me and said, Matt, you're better than this.
Yeah.
You're better.
Yeah.
And I said, and you said, you got this. So I had another sort of half a litre of wine, stepped up, and did Don't Stop Me Now from Queen. And I'll be honest with you, the place erupted.
It was a very memorable
one way of putting it.
Yeah.
One way of putting it.
It was good. But so tonight we've just got a long transfer. We're hoping to have dinner, aren't we? In about 58 minutes still. Blimey.
Yeah, we've got 94Ks to go. At least we're on a motorway though. We've done a quick swap. You're podding. I need to pay attention because we're turning off in 4.8Ks.
It's one of those where if you missed the turning, that's
we have done that in the past, haven't we? And you've got to do quite a long loop to get back on. So yeah, I'm going to pay close attention to the route. And just the last thing I touched on was we ran quite quickly up the Europa flight.
Oh yeah, that sport. Yeah, yeah.
And that was proper sport.
Well, from the TV compound back to where the car was. What do you think? In terms of, it was probably only about 500 metres, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But what was the altitude gain, do you think? Was it 10% gradient averaged out? Or was it more than that?
Maybe. I think it's about 10%, which is running's
50,
quite hard.
50 metre.
Yeah. 50 metre elevation.
Yeah.
And
flight of steps, but also equally, like, just gradients, you know, just little rope. You know, not non-step, but, you know.
We went
can't
a lot
think
higher.
Of the word. Yeah, what isn't steps? It's just roads, isn't it?
Just like an incline.
That's a word.
Yeah. So you started off, you just got a bit frisky and thought, I'm going to run up these steps. And
I didn't know. At no point did I run.
You strode.
I kind of like, look, it's Charlie Quarterman's hotel.
Is this the fourth time on the pod that we've been? No, not being funny.
No, that is literally the record hotel. So 3-star hotel.
Once. Twice
yesterday in yesterday's times. Pod we passed this hotel, we're just passing again. Hello Charlie.
We podded that side of the road
direction.
Yesterday.
That is extraordinary, but
wow,
that's the Giro.
I'm a little bit taken aback, forgotten what we're talking about, but we went up these flights of steps quite quickly, it's fair to say,
with different techniques. I was quite low cadence, high power, and you had quite a scampering kind of.
What I tried to do was introduce a gearing system into walking, which has never been done before, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. I mean, I've not looked it up, but I doubt it.
Carry on, next one.
So what I use is small, like pigeon steps, but at a higher cadence. So like, it's essentially running in steps, but I geared down. But then, after gearing down, I stuck it on the big one and went for almost like lunges, didn't I? And I gapped you, didn't I?
Well, there was a flat section, there was a plateau, wasn't there? But in between stepped sections, where you really took me by surprise. You kind of strode with this incredibly long gait. It just put me under pressure.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, I put the best part of 4 seconds into you, didn't I?
You had me on the ropes.
But what I did get, and because my left buttock is...
Neither of us could speak for a while. We were so out of breath, both of us.
We did burst out laughing. It just didn't... our heart... We were just gasping for a long time trying to catch our breath. But if you've been listening to all of these Never Strays Fars, and if you haven't, go back to episode 1, I think, and we talk about my buttock and my left buttock injury. That reared its head again. I put it under...
And when buttocks
strength.
Rear their head...
Yeah,
there's hell to pay.
I like the idea of a buttock having a head as well. That's quite strange. But it calmed down again now, but I did put it under a little bit of pressure. So I've had two days off the bike now, but I think I'll be back into proper sport mode tomorrow.
It does remind me of the last hitchhiker I ever picked up when I still had a car and I occasionally used to, as a football reporter, I used to drive up and down the country on my own and quite often I you know, if I saw a hitchhiker, you never see him anymore, do you? But when you saw a hitchhiker, I picked this guy up near Brent Cross on the bottom of the M1, effectively going north. I can't remember where I was driving to. I was going to Manchester, I think, or Crewe or something like that. He needed to get to Scotland. The middle-aged man, and I think you just got to pay with a card here, haven't you?
Yeah. Is it another pay one?
Yeah, you just got to pay.
That
yeah.
Really,
yeah. Can you try not to swear this time?
Yeah, I won't right. swear. No, I apologise for that. Anybody listening that was offended by that, I apologise.
No, that's okay. But I picked up this hitchhiker and we got chatting. He was this kind of like slightly strange middle-aged man. It's a long time ago, this. And I said, what were you doing in London and where are you going? He said, well, I live in this house in the middle of this Scottish loch on an island. And I've got to get up there. So, well, mate, I can take you as far as Crewe or wherever the hell I was going, or Dr. Knutsford Services, or dump you there. And I said, what were you doing down in London? And he goes, well, it's a long story. I said, well, come on, we've got time. And he said, I've been at Channel 5 television headquarters because I'm trying to convince them to make a documentary about me. I said, well, why would they be interested? Sorry, what would the documentary be about? He said, well, because I've been living up in this island in the middle of a Scottish loch on my own for a few years, and I've basically developed a new way of running.
Right.
Yeah, you've turned and looked at me like, you know, what are you talking about? So, and that's pretty much exactly how I looked at him. So, what are you talking about? A new way of running. Yeah, I've studied human development and evolution and physiology and anatomy, and I've realised that.
Is this real?
No, this is absolutely real.
Right.
And he said, and I've realised that we have been running the wrong way for the history of humanity. So we've forgotten how the human beings are kind of like designed to run. So how do you run? And he goes, well, you know, you have opposing limbs. So your right foot goes forward and your left, so, you know, your arm does the opposite. Yeah.
Sorry,
and he said, that's all wrong. He said, the way that we should be running, we're designed to run, is your left foot and your right left arm go forward together. And then your right foot and your right arm
like
go forward. No, not like I'm marching. Still opposing limbs, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If you're marching incorrectly, that's what he means. Yeah, it's incorrect marching is what he's saying is the technique.
Yeah. He said you can run faster. He said I've developed. Every day I run around the island in this. I've honed the technique, and I can tell you this much: that a 1 hour 30 marathon is possible using this technique. And in fact, with a few more years training, I can run a marathon in 1 hour 30.
What was his name?
David. But he'd been down to, it's rather sad actually, he'd been down to Channel 5's headquarters, and this is when their headquarters were on near Battersea Bridge, and he'd had an appointment with a commissioning editor who hadn't actually invited him up to his office. He'd come down and met him in the lobby, which isn't a great sign about expression of interest. And apparently this producer had said, well, come on then, can you show me out on the street? Can you show me Your running technique?
Just imagine this.
So they got out on the street and he just ran off in the opposite direction using his running technique and ran back, you know, ran for a couple of hundred metres, ran back, and when he got back, the bloke had gone back in the office. It's actually really sad now.
That's actually really sad. But was the bloke okay?
I think he's a lonely chap.
Yes, well, yeah, that's quite, because that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm going to do though?
Try it.
When we get to the car park, I'm going to do that technique.
I've tried it.
Oh, how did you go on? Did you do a PB?
It's true.
Whatever.
It's really slow.
Did you look weird?
It's actually quite a difficult thing to do.
It throws you off balance as well, doesn't it? Because all your weight's in one on one side. Yeah. You'd be like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. But that's the last time I picked up a hitchhiker. That's it. Because you don't see him anymore, do you? You know, like.
No, they're few. I mean, the hitchhikers are few and far between. It's quite an ill-advised pursuit, I think, now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a really sad story.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.